The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Here we're speaking of the finishing, the completion of the Mishkan, the counting up of all of the Mishkan, all of the materials. So why here the Dafke, the Torah tells us, Mishkan is going to be taken away from us twice. When Al-Mikrag and the Gurai, he answers something which we can learn, a very important principle. He says, because what made the Beis HaMikdash vulnerable to be destroyed was the fact that it was Hakol B'mido U'B'minyan. It was all counted out. We find that every Kol Hazor, all of the gold, all of the copper, all of the silver, all of the copper, everything was counted. We find in the Beis HaMikdash and the Tanakh, everything was measured and everything was counted. The fact that it was all counted and measured, this gives a power to the Ein Hor. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brochos that in Habrocha Mesuyim Lei B'Dovah She'B'Mida U'B'Nishku, that Brocha is not found on something which is explicitly counted and measured. In Habrocha Mesuyim El Al Dovah She'Mofusim Min Ha'Ein, Brocha is found on something which is concealed, something which is not explicitly counted and measured. Where something is explicitly counted and measured, so here the Ein Hora has a power. The Ein Hora, this is a literal translation, this would be the evil eye. And where the Ein Hora has a power, this could be the Turmah. This we find in the actual giving of the Torah. The Torah was first given on Vav Simun, 6 days of Simun. We find that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who came down on a fire. Thunder, Keles with rocking, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was Kifshana Esh, there was smoke, and fire of a furnace. The second time the Luches were given, the second tablets, the Torah doesn't describe how they were given. It merely states that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe the second tablets. Then the Chazal tell us that since the first ones were given with Pubia, they were given with such celebration and such public declaration, and in the end they were destroyed. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yofeh Hatznius. Yofeh Hatznius, something which is done privately, quietly, and concealed. This is better. This is why he gave the second Luches, without all of this celebration and parade. So we see from here the power of the Ein Hora. This is why here the Torah tells us that the Beis HaMikdash would be in the future destroyed twice. The reason why it became vulnerable to destruction because every part of the Beis HaMikdash was counted. And here we see just how strong Ein Hora is and how much a person has to guard from it. It's difficult, very difficult for us to understand exactly what the Ein Hora is. But we have many examples in the Torah, which do refer to it. For example, by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was given a bracha, Ben Peres Ale Ayin. Yosef would be a son of beauty. A son of beauty, which was attracted to the eye. So there the Chazal tell us that Yaakov gave a bracha to Yosef, that all who look at him will never have an Ein Hora against them. They'll see only beauty. They'll see only goodness. And we find this by Yosef. Because consistently through the Parshas, we see that wherever Yosef was involved, whenever Yosef was involved with other people, the Torah tells us that he was Vayisochem Be'enehem, that he found grace in their eyes, and people came to like him and to entrust him with very responsible positions. And he went down as a slave, And he was sold to the house of Potiphar. And he found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. And Potiphar made him a sar. He made him the prince over his house. Then later on, he was thrown into the dungeon because of a scandal. And soon he became the keeper. Soon he became the supervisor of the entire dungeon because they saw goodness in him. They saw beauty in him. Then he was brought to the palace of Paray. And soon, soon he was made the viceroy. And this was Yaakov, gave him this bracha, ben peiris aleim, that whoever should look at Yosef, he will see only grace. Another example in this parsha is with Yosef, that when Yosef gave the bracha to Binyamin, after seeing him after so many years, he said, Hashem yochnecho b'ni, let Hashem give chen to you. Chen, the Vilna Gaon writes, what is the difference between chen and yefi? There's chen, yofi. Yofi is beauty, and chen also is beauty. What is the difference? Yofi is a beauty of reality. Something can be very beautiful. Something might not be beautiful. It's a beautiful beauty which is dependent on reality. Chen is the beauty which attracts one's individual taste. For example, you can have something, you can have a house that an architect might tell you that it is not beautiful at all. The person likes it. This individual likes it. And he buys it. You can have a garment, a suit, a tie, a dress, that they might tell you will not win any style contests. But still, an individual likes it. Chen is the way it meets the person's individual taste. That's why we'll never define the word chen. It's always connected to the person's eye. What's also chen be'inecho? What's also chen be'inecho? Did he find grace in your eyes, or did he not find grace in your eyes? While yofi has realistic limitations. So Yosef gave this bracha that he had. He gave over this bracha to Binyamin, because his bracha should give him pain. People look at him, they should see only goodness in him. And we see a third example. When Yaakov gave the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, he gave them the bracha Vayidgu L'Rayv. These were the children of Yosef. Vayidgu L'Rayv. They should multiply like fish. Why did he say they should multiply like fish? Chazal tell us, fish multiply faster and in greater numbers than any other species. Why? Because they are concealed from the eye. We can't see them. We can't see them multiply. We don't know just what is under the sea. And since they're concealed from the eye, so the Eino Ha'ein Hora Sheletis. So the Ein Hora doesn't have any power over them. Therefore they grow. Therefore they multiply. This is the bracha he gave to Ephraim and Manasseh, and Yidgu L'Rayv, they should grow like fish. Because Yosef was protected from the Ein Hora. And as it came out to be, the Shevet of Yosef, the tribe of Yosef, was of the greatest in number. Another example we see also from Yosef. The Gemara in the Sechta Brochers, Rabbi Yechanan was doing something, and the Gemara, his colleagues asked him, aren't you afraid of the Ein Hora? So he said, no, I'm not afraid of the Ein Hora, because the Yosef crossing. I come from Zera Yosef, I come from the Seed of Yosef. And we're protected from the Ein Hora. So this is one example where we see that the Ein Hora seems to be Milsi, it seems to be a reality. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, first parak, that the Gemara is speaking of the liabilities of one neighbor to another in regards to building a wall. If someone, one neighbor, wants to build a wall between he and his other neighbor, can he also place a claim against the other neighbor that he must be mishtatel, he must share in the cost or not? So the The Gemara goes through a whole many discussions as to what is the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is for protection, or the purpose of the world is for hezekriya, in order to give a person privacy. So then the Gemara says that it is for hezekriya in order to give a person privacy. In other words, his windows look right into my property. So I have a claim that we should build the wall. So what would happen then if there would be a field? If it's a field where the person doesn't do his work, he doesn't do private types of work. So do you also have a claim against the person? So the person says, yeah. So the Gemara springs in, there's a possibility you might have a claim because of Ein Hora. Because if your field is constantly in the eyes of your neighbor, and he would constantly be looking at your crops, so you might give it an Ein Hora. So the Gemara goes into a discussion if this is also a claim. So again we see this. We see it in many places. Another example. Right here in the Parshas Hashkolim. We mentioned that this week is Parshas Hashkolim. The Torah commanded that you should count the people. It said you should not count the people by actually counting them, but by taking a half a shekel from each of them, and then count the Hashkolim. If you will count the people by actually counting them explicitly, then the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisiso, if you will count them explicitly, this Mekas V'Sholem, heaven forbid, bring a plague upon them. Therefore you shall not count them outright, but have everyone give a half a shekel, and we'll count the shkolim. This is the, from here comes the custom, where we don't count people explicitly. You might see, remember that if someone wanted to count for a minyan, if there was a minyan or not, so they would say, apostle, they had 10 words, rather than count the people to find out that there were 10 people in the shul. For this reason. Now again, because when you count each one, so then it becomes a davar shebevidu b'mishpat. It becomes something of a number. And this brings you prone to Ein Hora. Another example of this. The Gemara brings, we mentioned this in regards to the Mishkan. The Gemara brings in Bava Basra that as you came into the Mishkan, the shulchan, the table, was on as you came into the Mishkan, you were coming from the east and you were going towards the west. So the shulchan was on the north side, to the right. And the menorah was on the left side, to the left, the south side. The Gemara says, why? Because the shulchan represented material wealth. And material wealth, ashirus, was in the north. While the menorah, which was or, light, is represented chokhma, wisdom, the wisdom of Torah. And wisdom is found in the south. And the Gemara says, "Areitz la ashir yatzp." A person wants to become wealthy, so he should turn towards the north when he comes. Shulchan was on the right side towards the north. Now, north is called Sofon. The word Sofon in Hebrew is Sofun, means concealed, hidden. This is what the word means. When Al writes in other places that the north side of the world is concealed. Now, this is something we don't understand. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created one side that was more concealed than the others. This is why it's called Sofon. And since that's where it's concealed, so there is found the brocha. There is found the brocha of Ashiras of wealth. Therefore, the shulchan, which represented the material wealth, is on the north side. So again, we find that the wealth and brocha is linked to something which is hidden. The Gemara in Bracha says that Ein HaBracha Metsuya Lei B'Dabah Shebelida U'Beminyan U'Bemishkon Lei B'Dabah Shebelinyan U'Bemida B'Mishkon Ela B'Dabah Shesomu Yimina Ein. The Bracha is not found on something which we measure explicitly, or which we count explicitly, or which we weigh, but something which is concealed from the eye. Because something which becomes too open becomes prone to the eye more. So we have many sources in the Torah, in the Gemara, that Ein Hor is something. Exactly how it works, it's different biblical parashas to understand. I mean, it could possibly work that if something is too open, it's too porous, then other people that see it, perhaps they can come akitru, they can become jealous of it, and they can start asking, why is this person zeichet to such a thing? Why does he have it and I don't have it? This can be ma'eira, the midas hadin, this can awaken the midas hadin, this comes like a claim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was he zeichen and not other people were zeichen. This could bring out, perhaps, the midas hadin, the ein hora. Perhaps this is somewhat what it has, this is somewhat of an explanation. But at any rate, we see that that something which is completely non-private, something which is open, is linked to the ein hora. And something which is concealed is free from the Ein Hora, and this is linked to Brocha. And it goes so far as the actual giving of the Torah. First time the Luchos were given, they ended up being destroyed. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yofei Atzmius. To be modest and to be private, this is a great attribute, this is a great milah. And he gave it very quietly. In general, we find that the more Kodesh, the more sanctified something is, the more concealed it is. And this is a principle that we have in the Beis HaMikdash. That the more Kodesh something became, so the more concealed from the masses it was. And it went further into the Mishkan and into the Beis HaMikdash, so that only Kohanim or Levim could go there. Not everyone could go. When you went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so only the Kohen Gadol could go. There were certain times, for example, by the Ketevis, by the incense which was brought into the Kodesh. But there the Torah said it should be brought in complete privacy. No one else should be around when it's brought. In general, maybe this is what it's linked to. That the Mora tells us in the Sefer Brachos that the Neshama that is in the person dwells besesa, dwells very secretly. But it's born to give a neshama to a person, and it dwells very secretly. And the impact of that statement is greater than meets the eye, because it's so secretly that we can't find it. There was once a great scientist, or a great psychiatrist. He was an atheist. He once made a statement that I have examined the entire body and I have sifted through every part of the brain and I have found no indication whatsoever that there is a soul in a person. He didn't find. He can't find. The Gemara says it's long besesim. It dwells in secrecy. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also dwells in secrecy. How long besesim? And that's the source of the world. So there's the possibility that when something becomes more holy, more kodesh, it has to be clothed in sneus, in modesty, in privacy. And maybe this is what brings it closer to the source of brocha. Well, to the contrary, if it becomes too open and it becomes too far from its source, then we find that the Ein Hora has this power. So these are a few thoughts on the subject, but we see the gravity right here. The Torah is telling us to count the Mishkan. It says, but this will be a reason why the Beis HaMikdash will be vulnerable.
said after the Lukas were given, Hashem said Yafiat Sinas.
Yeah.
So this Sinas for the Mishkan, is that given after the Lukas?
Right. No, this is after the
Lukas. Right, if this principle is already
known. No, I mean, you can ask another question also. Then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to count every part of the Mishkan? This is also the question. Evidently, the Mishkan had to be counted. But this is a... This is also a question. I don't know the answer to that. In the next pasuk it states that Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lemati Yudah also is kol asher tzivu Hashem as Moshe. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Yehuda, he made all that Moshe commanded. Also is kol asher tzivu Hashem as Moshe. He made all that Hashem commanded Moshe. Now Moshe appointed Bezalel to direct the building of the Mishkan. The pasuk should have stated that Moshe, that Bezalel did all that Moshe commanded him, because Moshe instructed Bezalel to direct the building of the Mishkan. Instead, it states that Bezalel did all that Hashem commanded Moshe. Not all that Moshe commanded him, but all that Hashem commanded to Moshe. So Rashi brings, Asher Tzivu say Moshe Ein Ksiv Kan. Doesn't say what Moshe commanded him. Elo kol Asher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe. But all that Hashem commanded Moshe. Afilu dvorim shele omar le rabbi hiskima daita. Lemashe nemar lemoshe b'sina. But Bezalel had such wisdom that he was able to understand even what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, even though Moshe did not command it to Bezalel. What particular this is referring to? Ki Meishet Tzivel Bezalel Asis Tfila Kelim Ve'Achach Mishkan. If you look at the parashas, Meishet first commanded Bezalel first to make the Kelim. So make the Orem. First thing in the Parashas Truman, the other parashas, states to make the Orem. Then to make the Menorah, or the Shulchan. Make the Shulchan, then the Menorah. Then afterwards the Mishkan. So Moshe first commanded to make the kelim, the vessels, and then to make the Mishkan, to make the structure itself. Bezalel said no. Omale Bezalel mina gailam lasis tkila bayis. It's the custom of the world first to build a house. Yachakach meisim kelim b'sefer. First you build the house and then you buy the furniture. You don't buy the furniture first and then build the house. So Bezalel said first we must make the Mishkan and then the kelim. Omalei kach shemati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said, yes, you're right. This is how I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First to make the Mishkan and then to make the Kiddin. Omalei Moshe b'tzel kel on Yisro. Ki bevari kach tzibri HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said to Bezalel, that you're true to your name. What does Bezalel mean? It's tzel kel. He who stood in the shadow of Hashem. You must have been in the shadow of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me on the building of the Mishkan. You must have been there in that shadow to hear. Therefore, you are true to your name. Bechein also. So, and this is how Bezalel made. First, he made the Mishkan Tchila, the Achakach also Kelim, and then he made all of the vessels. So we see one thing we see from here: the greatness of Bezalel. And also, he was a very, very young boy at this time. I think if you make the calculations, it comes out. He might have only been about 13 years old. He was a very, very young boy. So we see his great wisdom. The question is asked, though, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to first make the Mishkan, and this is the way it should be done, so why did Moshe have told Bezalel to make the Kelim first, to make the vessels? So the answer to this is, it's safe, meister, tchilas machshava. If we examine a person's thought, and we go back to the very beginning of his thought, the very beginning of his thought is always towards the final goal, the final product. For example, a person has a creative thought. So what he starts thinking about is the final goal, the final pratha, the ultimate. And then later on, he starts to think of the various details on how to come to it. For example, if you had an inventor who wants to invent a car, so his first thought is to invent some type of vehicle. So he has in mind this vehicle. Then he starts to go piece by piece how to come to that tachlis, how to come to that ultimate. Seif Meiser, Tchilas Machshava. The final point of the act, this was the Tchilas Machshava, this was the beginning of the thought. So when Moshe instructed Bezalel, the building of the Mishkan, Moshe had in mind the tachlis of the Mishkan, the goal, the object of the Mishkan. What was the object of the Mishkan? The object of the Mishkan is the Torah. The Torah was in the Orah. The object of the Mishkan was to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina into the Mishkan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina came into the Mishkan because he gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. So the objective was the Torah, the Orah. Therefore he told Bezalel, make the Orah. First you must make the Orah. Because Moshe's eye was on the final product. Bezalel, on the other hand, said that in order to come to the final product, first you have to go step by step. So therefore, first the Mishkan must be made. This is why Moshe first commanded him on the king. But there's still another question to be asked. So why then, when it came to the actual building of the Mishkan, so why did Bezalel have to correct Moshe Rabbeinu? So Moshe should have realized this. So this the Gurai says, that the Moshe's place, Moshe's stance was one, and Bezalel was another. Moshe was Memuna ala Limud. Moshe's Madrega was Torah, was Limud. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to the Limud, so we look at the objective. Therefore, Moshe saw the Mishkan, he saw the Oran HaKodesh. So this is how he gave it over to Bezalel. But Bezalel, his geomness, his greatness, was in the Asiyah. Bezalel was the director of the construction of the Mishkan. Bezalel had the greatness, but he was capable of constructing the Mishkan. So therefore, Bezalel, when he looked at the Mishkan, he looked how each part had to be put together. This is why Moshe saw it from one aspect and Bezalel saw it from the other. When the Mishkan was completed, states they brought everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Pasuk Mem Gimel. This is Mishmos Lamed Tes Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayar Moshe es kol hamalocha. They brought everything to Moshe. Now, first in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vatechel in Lamed Beis. Vatechel kol avedis Mishkan el Mei. They completed all of the work of the Mishkan. Vayasu b'nei Yisoka kol asher tzivu Hashem es Moshe kenosu. And they made everything like Hashem commanded Moshe. By your view, as a Mishkan al Moshe, they brought everything to Moshe. As a Ohel was called Kelov, Krosher, and so on. Everything they brought to Moshe. So Rashi tells us in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Shelohu Yerchenu Lo Kima. No one was able to put it up. No one was able to put. After they completed everything, they weren't capable of putting it up. And since Moshe didn't have any part in the building of the Mishkan himself, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your part will be in erecting the entire Mishkan. No person was capable of putting up the Mishkan because of the heaviness, because of the great weight of the crushing of the beams. Shein keach ba'odam lezokhim. No one had the capability of standing by. Well, Moshe Hamid, Moshe was able to. I'm a Moshe to now Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Eich Hefsha Komasa Ali Deodem. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe to put it up to erect it. So Moshe said, how is it possible that a person can erect this? The gold and the silver and the beams, the wooden beams are so heavy. Omalei, Aseka Tobi Yadecho, you do what you have to do. Nirekime Kiman, Wuhu Niskaf Vikome Hilo. You go and work. And it will look like you are putting it up. Niskaf Vikome Hilo. And you'll see that it will go up by itself. Zeo Shinemar Hukama Mishka. This is why it tells us that on Reish Chodesh, this was, when did this take place? We mentioned before that when Moshe received the first Luchas, which was on the 6th of Sivan on Shavuos, then 40 days he stayed in the mountain, then he came down with the golden calf, he went up for a second 40 days, and then he went up for a third 40 days, then he received this second Luchas after the third 40 days, which was Yom HaKippurim. Came down with the second Luchas, and the next day he commanded the people to start to work on the Mishkan. Now it was completed, the Chazal tell us that it was completed in Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev. From the 10th of from the 10th of Tishrei to the 25th of Kislev is not too long. The 10th of Tishrei to the 10th of Cheshvan, the 10th of Kislev is just a little over. It's a little over 2 months. So they finished this all in a little over 2 months. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said it should not be erected until the following Nisan. You should wait another several months until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Midrash tells us here why. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the Mishkan to be erected in the month that Yitzchok was born. What does it have to do with Yitzchok? Well, we could say because Yitzchok was the Amud HaAveda. Yitzchok was the pillar of the Aveda. Because he was sacrificed by Avraham Avinu. Avraham wanted to sacrifice him. So from here Yitzchok became the source by Klal Yisrael of the Avedis Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps this is the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was the month that Yitzchok was born. If you recall, the angels came and they came on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And well, actually they came, it was Pesach time. But yeah, Yitzchok was actually born in Pesach, but Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it should be in the month of his birth. The Medrash also brings that Kislev had a complaint against Hashem because the erection of the Mishkan would be a great yantif. You're taking this yantif away from the month of Kislev. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Olai l'shalim, I owe you a debt," and he repaid it to Kislev in the time of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, there will be another dedication of the Mishkan. This is during the time of Matishel and the Maccabees, when they rededicated the Beis Hamikdash after the Yevonim, the Greeks, had brought impurities to the Beis Hamikdash. So this was on Reish Chodesh Nisan. And it states, Hukam HaMishkan. It was on the first day of the Chodesh. The Mishkan was erected. It does not say that Moshe was erected it, but Hukam HaMishkan was erected Me'elon, by itself. So from this Chazal we can learn a few things. When we can be in the area, we can observe a few things. One question that we've had here a long time, I think someone asked it once here. The people were unable to erect the Mishkan, therefore they brought it to Moshe. Because they couldn't lift up the beams. Why is it they couldn't lift up the beams? There were 600,000 people. Surely they could have developed some ingenuity to manage to lift up the beams. And these were the people also that built the pyramids and built the cities, the great cities of Pisa and Ramses in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. So if there was an obligation on a single individual, this we could understand. But why should we think that one individual had to do it? So we could have used many. So possibly that there should have been some way that many could have erected it. So this is a kasha someone once asked, and we don't have an answer for it. But this other principle that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, this is a principle which we find in all mitzvahs and in all aveda of this world. A person must do his job. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him with the rest. So same thing with Yeshua. Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, and he was given the task of destroying all of the enemies in Eretz Yisrael. And he looked around and he saw Yudalit Malachim, there are 14 great kings with great and mighty and terrible nations that are occupying Israel. And he said, how will I ever be able to defeat all of these kings and all of these armies? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you do what you have to do, and the rest will take care of itself. This is the Yisod we see from the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the place of the Avodah, where man served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you must serve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the rest. You lift up the beams, and you'll see that they will go up by themselves. It will look as if you are erecting the Mishkan. And who kama Mishkan? It will be brought up by itself. Then the Torah tells us, "Vayar meishes kol amalocha." Mem gimel posik mem gimel. Vayar meishes kol amalocha. Inei also esek asher tzivah Hashem kinosu. Meishes saw all of the malocha, which they did. And they did all in accordance to the command. Vayivorech es meishes, and meishes blessed them. Rashi tells us, what did he bless them? Omer lehem yirotzein shetishre shkina b'masi yedecha. The bracha was that yirotzein, that shkina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence shall be in the work of your hands. Now this bracha was really the specific objective of the Mishkan. Why did we need the Mishkan? In order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dwell with us. That's what Mishkan is, from the word Shochet, to dwell. Also the English, we should have to say, make a Mishkan from me, in order that I should dwell. We find the Mishkan was very related with the golden calf. Because I'll mean that the Mishkan was a kapor. Mishkan was a forgiveness for the golden calf. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, then they went and worshipped the golden calf. The Gemara says this was like an unloyal wife. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just took Klal Yisrael as a wife, and now they went and they gave themselves to a Elohei Nechor, to a strange god. So really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been megarish them. He should have chased them away. And Hashem told Moshe, he said, I was, after Moshe pleaded with Hashem. So Hashem said, all right, Hinei Maloch Echo. I will, Maloch, my angel I will serve. So Moshe said, no, that's not good enough. I don't want you to send an angel together with Klal Yisrael. You send angels with all nations. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends an angel with every nation. But you must come with Klal Yisrael. This is what Moshe said, that if you will not yourself go and live with Klal Yisrael, then Mecheni no misifrecha. Erase me from your sefer, from your name. Erase my name from your sefer. I will not leave Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I will go and I will live again with Klal Yisrael. And the testimony to this was the Mishkan. So therefore, Moshe said, Yihirotzein shetishre shkinosai b'masi yadeichem. Let it be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring his Shekhinah into the work of your hands. As we find, when the mission was completed, it states, "Vechase onan es'el ma'ek." This is a pasuk right near the end, on the Daled. "Vechase onan es'el ma'ek." Uchfeir Hashem ales Mishkan. That the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered the Mishkan, and the honor of Hashem filled up the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and dwelled in the Mishkan. This is the greatest bracha that Klal Yisrael could have wished for. And this is the greatest bracha of success anytime a person works. This bracha that Moshe gave, that whenever we do something, if there will be Shekhinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring his Shekhinah into our works, then we will be successful. If not, we will not be successful. This bracha, the source of this bracha, was from Moshe Rabbeinu here at the Mishkan. As I mentioned, it's also Parshas Shkolim. Let's just spend a few minutes regards to the Shkolim, this is something which we've said over many times. There is a very beautiful explanation in the Shkolim. In Parshas Kisisa, by Dabir Hashem and Moshe Lemon, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kisisa is Reish Bnei Yisrael is Kudet. When you count the head of the children of Israel is Kudet. Kisisa is just two parshas back. Vayakel and Kisisa. The Nos Mishkef and Afshel Hashem is Kudet. So every person should give a kefir and afshay, an amount of money which will be a kapora for him when you count it. Lo yev a negative kereson. And you should not count an outcome, because if you do, then it can count a negative plague. Yeah? And this is like we explained before, because of the iron hole. What should be this amount of money that everyone should give that should be a kapora for him? Zeyidna. And everyone that is ready, that is qualified to go into the army, he should give a half a shekel, HaKodesh, it's of silver, a half a shekel of silver, Esrim Geira HaShekel. And this shekel should have 20 geiras in. That's how we measure the shekel. Geira is a certain amount, for example, like a gram, an ounce. How large should it be? It should be a shekel of 20 geiras. Machasis HaShekel Trumah Hashem. This should be, everyone should give a half a shekel, a half of this. A full shekel is 20 geiras. Everyone should give half. And this should be Trumah Hashem. Kol Eved Alav Gudim Menesim Shalom Amal Yitim Trumah Hashem. Anyone who is 20 years old and older. Ha'oshe Le'yarve Vadala Yamin Imachasis HaShekel. The osher should not, the wealthy should not give more, the wealthy should not give more, the poor should not give less, from a half a shekel. Each one should give trumas Hashem l'chapei al nafshesek, and it should be an atonement for their nefesh, for their souls. You should take this money, this silver, and you should give it al avodas ohel mo'ed, you should go towards the mishkan. And Rashi brings here, Rashi brings Pasuk Tesvav L'chapa Mavshesechem L'chapa Mavshesechem L'fi Sheromaz Lem Kan Gimel Trumas Shenichtev Kan Trumas Hashem Gimel Pomin. Three times in these psukim is the word Truma. Truma means an offering, an uplifting, a contribution. Mentioned three times. So this tells us that we were speaking here of three contributions, not one contribution, but three. Achas Trumas Adonim. Shemot. With the actual structure of the Mishkan was built out of Atzei Shittim. And they were upright beams placed one against the other. And this created the walls and the structure of the Mishkan. The base of these beams were what were called the Adonim. This was a silver base made out of silver, which held the beam in place. Everyone gave a half a shekel, and a half a shekel from all of the 600,000 people, who were from 20, the men who were from 20 to 60. This added up to exactly enough silver. This added up exactly to enough silver, which would make the silver Adonim, the silver basis of the Kroshim. So the first Truma contribution mentioned here is the silver, the half a shekel, which everyone gave, which was used for the base, the silver Adonim, the base of the Mishkan. Hashenis, Afiyali de Minyan, Shimon and Mishuka, Mamishkan, Raminyan, Omer, Bitkilis, Kamesh, Akkudi. The Nostra Kolechet Maxis, Hashekel, Vein Liknes, Men Kobon, Asim, Shokol, Shon, and Vishon. Uruj Be Manim, Ashi. Second Maton, second Truma that everyone was commanded to give, was another half a shekel. And this was a half a shekel which was given yearly. The first half a shekel was given just at the beginning of the building of Mishkan. Second half a shekel was given yearly. What was Ishmael for? This was used for buying the korbanos sibur. There were certain sacrifices which were brought for the entire nation, a national sacrifice. For example, the sacrifice which came every morning and every afternoon, the Tomit Shel Shachar and Tomit Shel Ben Arbaim, this is Bidav Shachris and Mincha correlating to this. Or Shabbos, the Eilu Shabbos, these were national sacrifices. These had, everyone had to be represented in these sacrifices. So therefore, the half a shkoli, which everyone would give every year, would go for these sacrifices. And in these two trumas, Hushvu Ben Amim Arshir, there could be no distinction between the poor and the wealthy. Everyone could have to give a half a shekel and only a half a shekel. Bal Eisei Truma Nehu Lachata Onav Shasecha. And this is the truma which is mentioned to be an atonement idea. Because the korbonis, the sacrifices, were for kapor, for atonement. Ashlishis, the third matona, was Truma Samishkan. This was the offerings given to the Mishkan, like it states in the beginning of Pashas Truma. And there, Kosh Baruch Hu said that let everyone, Asher Nod Boliba, everyone whose hearts uplifted to come and to want to give to the building of the Mishkan. And this was all types of material. Zov, Kesef, Kosher, gold, copper, silver, wool, and so forth. This was the third Matona, and this was given only at the beginning of the building of the Mishkan. And this was of any material that could be used in the building of the Mishkan. These were the three trumas. Why did we read Parshas Shkoli this week? Because the half a shekel which was given annually, so the Mishnah tells us that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmim al Shkoli. When it came Rosh Chodesh Adar, that's when the Beis Din would go out and start declaring in all the cities and sign for everyone to come with their half a shekel. Because on Nisan is when they started to buy the new korbanos for the coming year. Because Nisan is the beginning of the year. So they started the collection of the Mishkolim on Adar. So therefore we always read Parshas Shkolim on the Shabbos near Rosh Chodesh Adar. This year comes out on Rosh Chodesh Adar. So these were these three matonos. Now, there's a very beautiful explanation in the Sefer Gorai as to what did this mean in Parshas Truma. The, as we mentioned, the Mishkan came to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah into Klal Yisrael. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking the Shekhinah away from Klal Yisrael was because of the Egel Hazor, the golden calf. So therefore the Mishkan had to be an atonement for the golden calf. When Klal Yisrael sinned by the golden calf, they sinned with their machshavah, with their seichel, because they worshipped idolatry. And idolatry is alien ideologies. This is a sin of machshavah. They sinned with their bodies because they went and physically served the golden calf. They danced in front of it, they sang in front of it, they bowed to it. So they sinned with their bodies. And they sinned with their material possessions. It states that they went and they took all of the gold and the silver that they had, or the gold, and they made an eidol zohar. And like Meisha also said, they made it. Because of the gold that you went and you took out of Egypt, from here you made Elohei Nechor, a strange god. So they sinned with all three parts of their of themselves. Therefore they had to bring an atonement. All three parts of themselves. The therefore, they were commanded to give three matonos. Now, a person is made up of a nefesh and a guf. A person is made up of a nefesh. This is his the life which is in him. and he's made up of a body, of a physical body. Together with the nefesh in the guf, he is a complete person. The Gemara in the Sechta Nida, on the Lamed Aleph, tells us Tonen Abon there are three partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avi V'Ima. When it comes to creating man, there are three partners. Hashem, a person's father, a person's mother. Avi Mazriya Halevin, seed of the father is white. Shemimenu, and from this comes Atzomes, the bones of a person, the gidim. Gidim are the nerves and the fiber of the person. So fanayim, the nails of the person. Meach shebereisha, the brain tissue. The levin shebe'ayin, and the white of the eye. So from the father's contribution comes five parts of the human being. The bones, the nerves, fiber, muscle, fingernails, all of the nails, brain tissue, and the white of the eye. Imay mazras odin, seed of the mother is red. Shemimenu, and from this comes another five parts of the person. The or, this is the skin, the bosa, the flesh, dam, the blood, sarais, the hair, Shofar Shabai, in the darkness of the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives ten parts of the person. He gives the Ruach, it's the spirit. The Ruach is, would be the breathing, the breath of the person. The Neshama, the soul, cluster upon him, the radiance of a person's face, Riyas HaAyin, power of sight, Shmias Eisen, power of hearing, Dibur Peh, power of speech, Hilach Reglayin, motivation of the person, physical motivation, that he can move and walk, Deya Bina V'Haskel, and Deya Bina V'Haskel, these are three levels of the intellect, Das Bina V'Haskel. So these are the 10 contributions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This means that father and the mother contributes him, and Kodesh Baruch Hu contributes him. Given she gives man the bottom in Ilam, when it comes time for a person to leave this world, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes chelkei. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes his. And the contributions, the parts of the father and the mother, he leaves before them. Because we see that once a person leaves this world, so everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave goes with it. The breath, the soul, the radiance of the face, the power of sight, of hearing, of speech, of movement, or Deya Bina V'Haskel, the power of the intellect. But everything else stays there. Everything that the father had given and the mother had given is still there. Amar Papa Haimed Amri Inchi puts milk of a shot of beast of a kalva. Papa says this is what people say, that if you had, in those days they didn't have refrigeration, so how did they keep meat? They would salt it, they would very salt it. Take the salt out of the meat, and then the meat would be worthless. You'd have to throw it to the dogs. Same thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu places his soul in the person. That's like the salt. When he takes it out, when it's there, so it has everything. When he takes it away, then it's worthless. Everything else was spoiled. The Gashmias, physical attributes, these are contributed by the seed of the father and the mother. Spiritual attributes, these are contributed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because Bartha takes his spiritual attributes back, physical man is still here. But he no longer can last in Eden. But he's no longer alive in Eden. No longer last. Notice, you can notice in the 10 spiritual attributes which I mentioned, it stays clustered upon him. The radiance of the face. The radiance of the face is spiritual. The glow that a person has on his face. See someone who's got Shoshana, he's not alive, we see that he has a very a deathly paleness about him. There are many other, we once spoke of this in the past, but there are many Chazals that stated that Tselem Elokim, the image from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this shows itself in the radiance of the face of a person. Rashi brings the sight, it's a spiritual. Because after a person dies, the eye is still there. You can't see. And so forth. Now, if we add this all up, we'll find that there are 20 parts to the human being. 10 belong to the father and the mother, 10 come from the father and the mother, and 10 come from the Kodesh Baruch. 10 are physical, and 10 are spiritual. Since Klal Yisrael, they sinned at the golden calf, both with their physical body, because they danced and they sang and they bowed to the calf, and with their spiritual body also they sinned, because they, with their intellect, with their chokhmah, their das, and their bina, and so forth. So therefore there had to be an atonement, both for the entire man, both physical and spiritual. The shekel, the Torah tells us, is 20 gerus. The shekel has 20 parts, like 20 grams. 20 gerus, this is what the Torah tells us. It says you should take a half of shekel, and the full shekel is esrim gerus. So they took a half of shekel, and that was one matzah. This half of shekel, this went, Rashi tells us, for the silver of the Adonim, the silver of the base of the Mishkan. This represented the physical Mishkan. Because what was the Mishkan? The Mishkan was a structure, a physical structure, which would bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into it. Now the structure, if you come down to the basic structure of the Mishkan, it would be the crushing the walls around it. And if it would come down to the foundation of the basic physical structure, it would be the silver foundations which every board, which held every board in place. So this that they sinned physically and they had to have an atonement, so this was a half of shekel which everyone gave, representing the ten physical parts of the person, which was used for the base, physical base of the physical structure of the Mishkan. That was built the Mishkan. And this was their atonement because this would bring Shekhinah. And the Gemara brings and the Sforim bring that the Mishkan is very similar to the person. Because what is the person? The person is a physical structure which is made to receive the Neshama. And the Neshama is actually the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Neshama Taheri Hinosata, I gave you a pure Neshama which is a Chelek from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So was the Mishkan. The person is very similar to the Mishkan. So therefore each one gave a half of shekel and that went for the Adonim. Then he gave another half of shekel. This represented the 10 spiritual parts of the person. And this went for the korbonos. With this, the korbonos, the sacrifices were brought every year. And this was l'chaper al nafshi seichel. This was to atone on your nefesh. See, your nefesh already is the spiritual one. Because the korban almost came as a sacrifice, nefesh kisakri. Many times in the Torah we see that the korban was related to the spiritual body. So this was a sacrifice to the spiritual person. Then they gave a, so together, the half a shekel and the half a shekel, this was a kapora for the full person. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they must give a third matona, and that's each one in accordance to Yidvenu Liba. Each one in accordance to what he wants to give. And that went for the material of the Mishkan in general. And that was because, besides sinning with their bodies and with their souls, they also sinned with their men, with their money. They took their gold and they built a golden calf. So therefore they had to bring a kapora from their money. So therefore everyone gave in accordance to what he wanted. And this was used for the Mishkan in general. These were the why we were commanded to give the three matonis. Now, why were the first two a davar kotzub, an exact amount that you could not add or take away from? And the third one was asher yiben alidah. Because when it comes to a person, each person is the same when it comes to the 10 different parts of his physical body and the 10 different attributes of the makeup of his spiritual body. Each person basically is the same. So therefore, everyone was commanded to give the exact same amount. Half of shekel, not more, not less. But when it comes to a person's money, this is different by every person. Some people have more, some people have less. Therefore, each one was commanded in accordance to Yibben and Lipa. Just one final point, though. The Maral asks on this. Then the third matona should have been a tax in accordance to one's wealth. Should have said that the wealthy should give more and the poor should give less. The Torah didn't say that. The Torah said that each one should give kefish, ashir yiben alido, in accordance to what each one wants to give, what each one's heart uplifts himself to give. So he says that wealth and poverty is not determined necessarily by what one has or what how much one has. Wealth is determined by how much one is lacking. For example, how do we judge wealth? Do we count how much money he has or how much money he's lacking? Now the Mishnah, Masechet Ovah, says, Ezeo Oshir, Hasameach Bechelka. Who is the wealthy person? Hasameach Bechelka, he who is satisfied with what he has. True wealth is not determined by what a person has, because you have people that they own mansions, they own cars, and they own estates, but they still never can rest because they are not satisfied, they constantly seek more. So they are constantly hungry. A person who is hungry, that means he is lacking. That means that he cannot satisfy himself. That means that he does not have sufficient to eat. A person who does not have sufficient to eat is poor. On the other hand, you have someone who has a little and he wants no more. He has enough. But Yaakov said to Esau, Yeshli kol, I have everything I want. I don't need any more. So the Mishnah tells us, Asameach Bechelka, true wealth is not measured by what one has, but rather by what one lacks physically, in the physical world. In mitzvah, it's just the opposite. It says that Moshe asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he wants to go on the Eretz Yisrael. He asked, what did Moshe want to go on the Eretz Yisrael for? Moshe needed to eat from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe said there were the Hashem mitzvahs that you could fulfill only in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe didn't have enough mitzvahs. So we learn from here, I hate mitzvah like Yisba mitzvah. Someone who loves a mitzvah will never be satisfied with the mitzvahs. He constantly will seek more. In the spiritual world, a person is supposed to constantly be hunting. You're supposed to be constantly never. And this Dovid HaMelech said, the Mishnah tells us, Havishesh Divreitem Mitzoneh, that you must learn Torah as a person who is suffering, as a person who is thirsty for water. And Dovid HaMelech said, countless psukim, how his nefesh went out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His nefesh desired HaKadosh Baruch Hu, desired Torah. It was never enough for him. But in the physical world, there is a Asameach Bechelka. Therefore, it's not, the Torah didn't command everyone should give in accordance to the actual wealth he has, but everyone should give in accordance to what his heart uplifts it. And each one would give kefir's money. This is why we were commanded in these three tumas and these three shkolim and pashas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.